I wanna get locked up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and get rock on my on the only podcast that I'll hear. Rip off my ears. Oh, the rock show, 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 the rock show. Oh, I want the rock show.
Rocker Mike, and we've got Rob Rossi on top left there. This is the end of the year show that we do every year where we recap everything. Technically, it's Rock Show episode 191. We'll be giving out a couple of awards this year for best album, best book, best song, best new band, best movie. And as usual for the last 5 years, we have Clown Kong right here.
There he is. Hey! Hello. Hey, guys. Welcome. Greetings from the great Smoky Mountains of Tennessee.
Wow.
I'm here in the wilderness.
The wilderness.
The wilderness.
I was going to say, that doesn't look like Brooklyn, Scott.
Yeah, it doesn't look like Brooklyn at all. But, you know, I'm roughing it this year. I decided to, you know, be in, you know, the great wilderness of the Tennessee mountains.
Awesome. And, look at this guy. We're freezing up here in New York, and you're in a freaking pool. Look at you.
Just give me a minute while I'm more wilderness. It's wild here.
You're insane.
I can't hear you over the wilderness. I'm here. There's like bears and trees and, you know, all the things that I, you know.
Where's your drink? There's your drink.
Very difficult here in the wilderness.
Okay, so this is probably going to be one of the most bizarre shows we've ever done. Rob, well,
yeah, definitely. Right now, just
what? A clown in a hot tub?
Talking about Monty Python movies, which is what we're going to be doing. Okay.
What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know, man. I hope you survived that hot tub right there.
I think we should. Don't Matthew Perry yourself.
Yeah, be careful.
Is it too early?
Well, you know, I'm just saying.
Hot tub for too long is not good, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying. I'm good. Don't worry about it.
All right.
So let's start with the Fantastic Life of Brian.
Yeah, we're talking about two Monty Python movies, Life of Brian and Monty Python's Holy Grail. Classic films from the 70s. Hilarious stuff. Clown, Life of Brian. Let's hear your story.
You know what? I want to tell you something. You guys can hear me fine. One thing I noticed when I rewatched it, I didn't realize that the opening theme song, is that Shirley Bassey?
You know what? It's not, okay? It sounds just like her. It's actually a girl, a 16-year-old girl named Sonia Jones. Okay. It's not Shirley Bassey. It sounds like the girl from the Bond movies, right? But it's not. Right. That was the idea. They were trying to have like a James Bond sounding song.
Oh, I see. A 16-year-old Shirley Bassey sound alike?
Exactly.
You know?
Sonia Jones.
Somebody give me her phone number because that would be great.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if she did anything else. She sings, it's called Brian's Song.
Brian's Song.
Yes. Right. So basically, Life of Brian, if you've never seen it, it's about a guy named Brian. It takes place in Israel in Jesus' time. And Brian is constantly constantly accused of being a Messiah of his own. Okay.
Yeah. He's Miss Messiah. He's Miss Messiah.
Right. He's Miss Messiah. Exactly. And it's just one of the funniest films you could watch. It actually, you know, a little of the history of it, came out in 79, directed by Terry Jones from Monty Python. Stars Graham Chapman, John Cleese, Terry Gilliam, Eric Idle, Terry Jones, and Michael Palin. Graham Chapman is Brian. And there was problems making this film. I think right before they were going to make it, the financing got pulled. So you know who came to the rescue, clown? George Harrison. George Harrison came to the rescue.
Who came?
And they started a film company called Handmade Films, and they were able to get that made.
So George Harris was from the Beatles?
Yes.
He's the one that funded that film?
He financed it because the financing was lost right when they were going to make it. They pulled out. There was a lot of controversy making this movie even before it came out, okay, because they felt it was going to be offensive, you know, to religious people and all that. And it actually was banned.
Did you guys ever see that time that John Cleese went on television with like the bishops and the religious leaders?
No.
And they're like talking about and well, first of all, the film totally is like a setup of just religion in general.
Yeah.
And John Cleese actually went on TV, and you can look this up. John Cleese, and he actually went on stage on television with like these prominent bishops and religious leaders to talk about how offensive it was. And John Cleese, being probably the smartest man in the room, just like burned them.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing offensive in that movie. I mean, Jesus is not even in the film.
No, okay? Jesus.
Unless you see him as a baby in the very beginning, which is hilarious.
They show him from the distance. Remember where he's talking in the
beach? Oh yeah, on a Sermon on the Mount.
Remember when he's doing Sermon on the Mount?
Yeah.
Big nose.
Yeah, big nose.
Wait, you got a really big nose.
Blessed are the Greeks. Wait, the Greeks are going to take over?
Blessed are the Greeks? and they're all in the back, like they're in the back of the stage. They're like, what did he say? Shut up. I can't hear it.
Shut up, big nose.
Blessed are the Greeks? What is that?
My favorite part is the beginning where the three wise men get to the house.
And they're the wrong room.
What's his name? Brian. Let's pray for Brian.
and they
leave the praise a few minutes later. They come back.
Thank you for the gold and the frankincense.
Thank you for the gold and the frankincense. I'm down. Yeah.
And what's myrrh anyway? Oh,
myrrh. Yeah, see the real house around the corner. That was the best.
Right. And they leave all the presents there. They go outside. They see the right house. They go back in. They take the presents back.
They run back in, grab them.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And you know, the movie was banned in Ireland and Norway. Okay. And then what they did was they actually made a poster and an advertisement for the film saying it was so funny it was banned in Norway.
And we just don't care.
No. Actually, like I said, there was some controversy even before they made the film. Some early titles of the film was The Gospel According to St. Brian. And then another one, it was going to be called Jesus Christ, The Lust for Glory.
The Lust for Glory.
Right, because actually there is an interview with Eric Idle, and he said that, like, it was at, Holy Grail, which we're going to talk about later.
Yeah.
But it was, like, at a Holy Grail opening, and Eric Idle goes, they're like, what are you going to do next? He's like, Jesus Christ, the lust for glory.
The lust for glory.
That's and he nuts. Said that, they're like, was that, ooh.
Now they filmed this movie mostly in Tunisia, okay, and when it came out, Siskel and Ebert actually gave it 3 and 3.5 stars. They actually liked it. If you go back to the Holy Grail, they didn't like that movie that much, okay.
All right.
Which we'll talk about in a minute. But what's interesting too is I think Criterion put it out. I'm talking about Life of Brian. Put it out a while back. And there's some interesting cut scenes that I think's on the Criterion Collection. I'm not sure. But, for instance, there was an Adolf Hitler character that was cut out. Okay? His name was Otto.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been hilarious if that was in there. And they also, there's a scene when they changed the Jewish star into like a swastika-looking thing.
Wow.
They would have gotten in trouble with that.
I want to see the aftercuts.
Yeah, yeah. Now, an interesting little anecdote, too, is you know, if you're a Monty Python fan, you know anything about these guys. Graham Chapman was like an OG of Lumped Up. This guy drank.
Oh, he was an alcoholic. He was straight up alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. And he actually, John Cleese was supposed to play this lead role. And Chapman wanted it so bad that he sobered up.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, he stopped drinking. He sobered up, and they let him do the part. He did a great job.
Well,
another great part when they all go to the stoning to the point that they just stoned the priest.
I have to tell you something. I'm a lifelong Monty Python fan. Look at me. I'm working comedy. They're my favorite influence in comedy.
Yeah.
There is two things in Life of Brian that I think are the greatest Monty Python bits of all time. One is the stoning.
Yeah.
Stoning.
The stoning.
Wait, are there any women here?
Jehoshaphat. Go ahead. Jehoshaphat. every time someone says Jehoshaphat. Also, you have these men playing women.
Yeah.
Disguise themselves as men,
and they have to have a beard. There's people selling beers outside the stoning.
And selling beer.
The one guy is like selling other stuff, and then he opens his jacket. He's like, "You want a beard?
You want a beard? Beards? And you know how many? The first time I saw this movie." Was in the theater, and I think I missed half of it because I was laughing so hard at the stoning scene.
Yeah, that's too much, man.
My second favorite bit that just kills me is Pontius Pilate.
Yeah.
Oh, biggest.
Biggest.
And how they all can't stop laughing when he says.
And then he's like, they're egging him on. Because he's got like the lisp, and Biggest Dickens has the lisp too.
Right. And then Biggest Dickens shows up.
He's like,
and they're all like, this is my, he's like, this is my friend. He came from Rome, Biggest Dickens. And the guy just stops.
And the villagers are trying to not laugh. They're like,
that was hilarious. Incredible.
Yeah. And the crowd is like, whoa, he's like, who should we let go? He's like, Roderick, like, Roderick.
We don't have a Roderick. Wait, we got a Brian. We do have a Brian.
Roger, Ledger, we have a Ledger. And they egg him on.
And then the whole crowd is on the floor laughing at the pilot. Like, they're all just like on top of each other.
Right. And then Biggest Dickens says, I'll step in.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so I got to mention, that all in all, Life of Brian made $21 million. Not bad for getting a funding cut.
That is not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. All right, so let's go on to Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which to me is I think it's their best. And
bring out your dead.
Bring out your dead. Boom, hitting themselves in the head.
So their first attempt at an actual film was
now for something completely different.
But they had no control over it because they were trying to appeal to an American market.
It was really like that came out in 74. It was really like a compilation of skits they had done already on the show.
Right. But they had no control over. Right.
Right. This was their first major film.
Right. They had the two Terrys directing this movie.
Right. They co-directed Terry Gilliam and Terry Jones. Right.
And so, you know, Terry is very visual. Terry Gilliam was very visual. And Terry Gilliam was just, it was an interesting experience for all of them because they got two directors.
They must have been lumped up making the film.
They were lumped up. And they got right. And their lead actor was
Graham Chapman, once again.
But now, he was great up until noon.
Yeah. that he was too wasted to do anything, right? And once again, some musicians got involved here. Like you said, it was directed by Terry Jones and Terry Gilliam, but they needed funding.
Here was your backup.
They needed the funding. And Led Zeppelin paid for this.
Pink Floyd.
Jethro Tull's Ian Anderson. and also it's been determined, it's been said over the years that Elton John pitched in some money too.
Is that true? I did not know that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, he did. And what's interesting, Pink Floyd were huge fans. They a lot of the money, I don't want to say a lot, but the money they used, the pile of money they used, all came from Dark Side of the Moon.
Wow.
My favorite album.
So, you know, one of their most popular albums was actually used to finance this movie.
I love that.
Basically, it's about, you know, King Arthur is a spoof on all that. And Graham Chapman plays Arthur, King of the Britons. Who are the Britons? Well, you are the Britons.
Let me tell you something. When I was in high school, this was the nerd alert.
Oh, yeah.
The nerd alert was the kids who could quote.
Right. Listen, I was one of them, okay? In the 70s, when I was a kid, my evenings consisted of Benny Hill on Channel 9 and then Monty Python later on Channel 13. Okay? And I could by fifth grade I was quoting this. Okay? You know, it's just nuts.
This is what I would do in the hallways of my high school when I see nerds. I'm like, how do you know he's the king? Well, he's the one that's not covered in shit.
Shit. That's one of the first lines. It's one of the best. And I love the witch scene.
That was good.
Yeah. How do you know she's a witch?
Well, she floats.
She floats like a duck. And she's equal to the weight of a piece of wood. Oh man. And of course, you know, Cleese as the French guy, you know, the French soldier. Okay.
Well, let's see. I fought in your general direction.
I fought in your general direction.
Your mother was a hamster. And your father smelled like elderberries. I'm telling you, me and the nerds, we would quote that all the time.
And how, I mean, you know, I got to tell you, just my wife, Sandy, okay, when I put on Life of Brian, I watched them both back to back because that's the way to do it. You know, you got to immerse yourself into that whole thing.
I'm immersing myself.
When I watched Life of Brian and she heard me laughing for an hour and a half, couldn't pay attention. She didn't give a shit. By the time I put on Holy Grail, I was cracking up even more because that movie's on. She thought I was watching History of the World. Okay. But, you know, so she sits down and she's watching Holy Grail, when the beginning of it. And she ended up watching the whole movie and she was laughing her ass off. And she's like, you know, you're a total fucking nerd. And I'm like hands down, I'm a fucking nerd. I love this.
Andy is right.
Yeah.
Andy is right.
You're a nerd.
We're all nerds.
One of my favorite scenes is where they're fighting like the Dark Knight or whatever, the Black Knight. They just keep cutting body pieces off.
It's just a flesh wound. It's just
a flesh wound.
Come on, you coward. What does he say? I'll take your eye out or something. He's got no arms and legs.
Come on, guys. I got one good arm.
Cut that off.
Side note. That was one of Elvis's favorite scenes.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Elvis was a huge
Monty Python, or at least a Holy Grail.
Good for him.
And that was one of his favorite scenes, was the Black Knight. And he used to quote it all the time. And I saw this thing where they're like, yep, he would quote that scene all the time. And you're thinking about Elvis.
Shit.
And,
that's funny. So that movie made $5.17 million worldwide. Not bad for a second film. You know, really that first film. You know. It got mixed reviews. Siskel and Ebert weren't crazy about it at first. They gave it like I think Ebert, being the cooler one, liked it a little more. But Siskel was like, oh, it's like 10 minutes of laughing and 70 minutes of boring shit, you know?
Oh, no, he's wrong.
He was right. If anybody in that duo was ever wrong, it was always Siskel.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Right. Well, but Ebert did do, you know,
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
What has he got to say?
Did we talk about that last year, that movie?
We did. We talked about
that. Right? Yeah. Written by Roger Ebert.
Absolutely.
Two things I got to mention with Holy Grail is when it came out on TV, okay, it was the late night movie on CBS, Channel 2 in New York, February 25th, 1977. And the network took the liberty of cutting the shit out of it. Okay. And the Monty Python like had, you know, some bad things to say about that. You know, they thought that it shouldn't have been cut. They, you know, just some of the language and some of the blood, you know, was cut out. The blood scenes is ridiculous. It's just like, you know, like
they're ridiculously hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, the blood squirting out of his.
When you can make blood and violence hilarious.
Yeah, you're a genius. It's pure genius. And the other thing I got to mention is, of course, Spam-A-Lot. Okay.
All right.
Now, I have to say I did not see that Broadway play, but in 2005 they made
it. You know, it's back.
What?
It's back.
Oh, it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think I saw a commercial for it. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, maybe I'll go see it, but it's based on the film, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So, but I think there's other things in there from other Monty Python stuff, like the end of Life of Brian, the crucifixion scene when they're singing "Look at the Bright Side of Life."
Yes,
I think that's in Spam-A-Lot also. Okay, so they put a few extra things in there, but hilarious. You're doing good in that.
Did Eric Idle write that song?
No. That's like an old standard.
I think it's an old Eric Idle standard. I know he likes to, you know, sing
it. One of the most bizarre, I mean, just talk about Life of Brian again for a second. The ending of that is one of the most bizarre endings you'd ever see in a movie.
Look at the bright side of life.
And they're all crucified.
The most bizarre thing is when he climbs up, he's trying to get away from the Romans.
Yeah.
And he climbs up the tower and he jumps out and he lands on a spaceship.
Yeah, and then it crash lands back.
For 30 seconds, he's on a spaceship.
Yeah, getting shot at by the...
Yeah. I think for no fucking reason.
You know what that was?
They never reference it again.
No, you know what that was? It was if you watch it, it's a takeoff of Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Okay. Because you see, remember when the Millennium Falcon was going into the asteroid field?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what that does. Like all these asteroids are in front of them and they're blowing them up and then they crash into one like on the side and then they take a hit with the. It's like in 79, there was so many sci-fi movies that were out that they had to throw a sci-fi thing in.
That's correct.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Just a
well, the whole Life of Brian was basically a send up of religion and sin religion. Like, you know,
they spoofed. Yeah,
you have the guys who are more involved in the sandal and the shoe.
Yeah, the sandals.
Or the gourd. And they're like,
right.
They turn into like a fraction of, like, you know. It's a send up of religion. And then the whole, let's throw some space aliens in this. So.
Okay, so
Mike, you got another guest, Frank can see you also. So.
Yeah. Let's. You want to stay on, Clown, with us?
Sure. Why not?
All right. We're gonna bring
in. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, let's bring in Frank. He's gonna be our last guest of the day. Rob, there's been a little change with Jimbo, but we'll get to that.
All right.
Okay. Hey, Frank.
Hey guys, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And you're here with Clown Kong right there on the right. And he's sitting in Tennessee in his jacuzzi in the backyard.
I'm roughing it.
He's roughing it. We just got done talking about two films. We always have him on. We talk about two movies. We talked about Monty Python's Life of Brian and Holy Grail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, classics. So every year, we give little awards out for different things. And we have Frank Sesich here. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. Nice. But I made his book, Not That Way Anymore, the book of the year of 2023. There it is.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And you guys know I'm a big reader. I read a lot. I think it was the best book I read all year that was new. And just glad you're here, Frank. And, you know, Let's talk about it a little bit. I don't want to keep it too long. I'm sure you're doing your holiday stuff.
Oh, sure. Well, anyway, thanks so much, guys. And thank you, Mike and Rob. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us where they can get this book.
Anywhere on Amazon. You can buy it anywhere in the world on Amazon, Japan, England, here. Barnes & Noble has it everywhere. Get Hip is distributing it around the world, too. And they're good. I autographed all the copies that Get Hip too, so you get them for thing there, and in bookstores everywhere. They're being distributed now. It's been out for about a month and a half, selling really well. So I'm real happy.
If anybody,
Frank, if you look at the link, I put the link where you can find the book everywhere. So I put seven links.
Thanks a lot, Rob. I saw it. That's cool.
Yeah. So anybody want, if you see the show that we interview him, you can just click another link, and they'll take you where you can buy the book automatically. So
yeah, that's very cool. Thank you, Rob.
Okay. And for those who don't know Frank, Frank Sesich is a musician, veteran musician for many years. He played in a band called Blue Ash. He played with Steve Baters and many other people. Deadbeat Poets. You've always got something going on, Frank, right? For so long.
Always something in the fire there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But check out Frank online. He's on Facebook. And, you know, get this book. It's kind of like a continuation of his last book, which was called Circumstantial Evidence. This one is a little bit differently arranged. It's kind of like, you know, you go back to the 60s, you go back to now, you kind of like jump back and forth. But I love the book. It's got great pictures in there. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of great photographers let me use their photos. Teresa Cariocas, who did the cover photos, she's done so many punk things. She tours with her photos as it is, and she's amazing. Pictures of Tom Petty and pictures of the Go-Go's and Pandora's and all that and Stiv. And she and I are going to have a book of Stiv pictures coming out in the next year, too. Okay. And I'm going to write Annie Dust because she lived with Stiv and Mike Monroe in London for a couple years too. So she's got many stories as well.
Okay, cool. Now, Clown, you're a Dead Boys fan, right?
I am indeed.
Yeah, this man Frank played with Stiv on his Disconnected solo LP.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. And I toured with them in 79, 80, and then 81. I replaced Magnum a lot of the live shows and did all Stiv solo stuff with them on Blomp.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
I'll always say that album Disconnected is one of the best in the last 50 years by anybody. So Frank, you got this coming up, a book about Stiv. What else you got coming up? Any touring?
I'm working on things right now. I'm going to try to go back solo. I do acoustic tours with the books when I have the books out. So I'm going to go down, start down in Tennessee, probably with Ghetto Blasters in Chattanooga, go around the South. And I've toured with them the last time I was out in 2019. And then I'm going to try to get to England and again and Sweden and do it because the book's selling very well over there. So I do acoustic set and then tell stories and then read from the book and get up with Ghetto Blasters when I tour with them in America and do a few songs electrically with them.
Yeah, you talk about the Ghetto Blasters quite a bit in the book too.
Yes. Great guys, great band, and I've done two tours with them and had great fun each time. So I look forward to doing that again. I know they're setting something up right now, so for the spring.
Cool. All right, Frank, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, and everybody get that book. Not Away Anymore.
Nice meeting you too, and thanks for the award. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good one.
Bye. Okay, so we made Frank's book, Not That Way Anymore, the book of the year.
Yep.
We have a band that we interviewed the lead singer earlier this year, I believe, Jimbo Jones. His band is called Key of Caustic. They have a new album out called Unleashed. And I think that this band, Key of Caustic, is the best new band of 2023. This album, Unleashed, was produced by Paul Calderi, who worked with the Pixies, Dinosaur Jr., Radiohead, some other big bands out there. He's a great producer. We were hoping to have Jimbo on. He's a little under the weather. He just texted me, said he couldn't make it, but he's been fighting the flu. So we wish him the best. Hope he gets well soon and has a great New Year and Christmas. They're a very cool Boston band, okay?
Yeah.
Steve Caustic. There's 10 tracks on this album. I'm just looking at the list right now. I've been listening to this album quite a bit this year. A song called Secrets and Lies is strong. Bullet in My Head. Stepping Out. What You Don't Say. Some real good songs. What I like about this band, and you could check them out. They're on Bandcamp.
Yep.
They're on everywhere, Spotify, Pandora, check them out. Key of Caustic, Caustic. And what I like about this band is they have a, you know, they're new, but they have a very old school sound, kind of 70s punk, but with like some modern twist on things. I do like it.
This is a hell of a record cover, man.
Yeah, right? Right?
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, you go back. We'll put a link up to the interview we did with
Jim Ball. That looks like an album that I would listen to.
Oh, definitely. You'd love it,
Clark. Oh, you'll love it. They're good.
Well, we like all the same shit. You would love it.
It's pure rock and roll.
I'm so in.
Yeah. Man, so are you in that tub in your clothes?
Well, listen, I'm in my tub up here.
I don't want to see your junk. Right? No.
I'm gonna stay seated for now.
Okay.
Dinganoris.
It's not gonna go great. It's not going great like this, but everything after that is not gonna go great. I don't want you guys to be kicked off the internet. So
definitely. And that's happened to us before.
Yeah, right.
Next category we got to talk about is the best album of the year. And I think this might fall into a little controversy. Okay.
Here we go.
There it is. Rolling Stones, Hackney Diamonds. Have you heard this album, Clown?
I have not heard this album.
Okay.
It just came out. This is like a new one?
It just came out in October. Okay.
Is it like everything else that we've heard?
Well, let me tell you, there was a couple of tracks released, and I'll be honest with you, the whole album is fucking great. Okay. Nice. I'm a big Stones fan, and I'm the first one to admit that they've been phoning it in as far as studio albums for the last 40 years. Okay. Right. And that's, you know, it's okay. They're the Stones. They could do whatever the hell they want. They're a great live act still. Everybody should go and see them. But there's just something with this record, guys, that really struck me. I don't know if it's because Charlie Watts passed away 2 years ago when they started working on it, and it just lit a fire under their asses. I think this is their best record since Tattoo You, which came out in 81.
Yeah, wow. I remember.
And, you know, what's been the problem with the Stones for many years is really, you know, They'll have like two or three good songs on the album, and the rest is just kind of filler. Okay. And, you know, they have their fans, everybody, the albums will sell, everybody will buy them, but they really didn't have any edge. And I think that this is an edgy album. Okay. Jagger can still belt out those vocals. He's 80 fucking years old. Okay. They're not using auto-tune on them or any kind of, you know, it's just Mick Jagger's voice. And I just think the tracks are strong. Angry was the first single. It's okay. It's good. But there's some straight up, you know, what you want with a Stones record is, you know, you want your rockers and you want your bluesy songs and ballady kind of things. And this does that. Okay, there's a track on there with Lady Gaga that came out. The hell is it called now? Oh God, Scenes of Heaven. Okay. Scenes from Heaven. And I mean, it's great. And I'm not a Lady Gaga fan, but she has an amazing voice and she complements this song very well. It's like a duet between her and Mick. Reminds me of something off of Exile. Okay. Exile on Main Street, which is probably their best album. I think that they really put in an effort with this album, and I got to give it to them. There were some good albums this year, but this one I really enjoyed. Of course, I'm a big Stones fan, but I'm also a big punk rock fan, as we all know. And Fear came out with a new record this year too.
What?
Yeah, they did, and I was listening to it. It's good, but I had to give it to the Stones just because they pulled off something that I didn't really think they could do again, and that was like, pull out a nice solid album. Look, don't get me wrong. Is it Exile? Is it Sticky Fingers? Is it, you know, anything like that? No.
No.
Okay. It doesn't come close. Okay.
A good solid album.
Yeah. What do you say, Clown?
Can I just tell you a little something?
Sure.
So, you know, I was born in the last century. I recently joined the AARP, and I get on my, they sent me an email.
I know where you're going.
That I can, you know, get like one of the first tickets to the Stone concert.
Yep.
And I'm like, that is the most AARP thing you can ever do.
You know what? I when I heard AARP sponsored this Stones tour that they're on right now. Okay. And when I heard that, I cracked up. Okay. I actually laughed my ass off because that's fucking funny. Okay. But then I thought about it, and I said, they're fucking geniuses.
They are.
They talk about being in tune with who your audience is. Okay?
You're a member of the AARP. You're going to get the great tickets.
All three of us are old enough for AARP, okay? And I'm sure they got plenty of fans, even older than us, that are in AARP. And they got first dibs of tickets. That's fucking hilarious.
It's just even like, oh, I'm glad I joined the AARP. I get some tickets.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move right along. Now, I don't know if you've seen this, but I'm going to announce my movie of the year.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in.
And we're going to give it to Sound of Freedom. Did you see it?
I did not see Sound of Freedom.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Okay. Sound of Freedom is a movie about a agent for the Homeland Security. It's a true story. Okay. That uncovers in his experience dealing with illegals and stuff like that.
Right.
Uncovers that there's a lot of human trafficking going on between South America, Mexico, and stuff, the United States. It's basically he finds out about a child and a girl and her brother that are disappeared. They show that how their disappearance happens with the father. A lot of these, it's a sad story. It really is. And it shows how all this is happening today in the world. And not much is being done about it. You agree, Rob?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty much about like sex trafficking kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much what the movies are about.
Right. I mean, Jim Caviezel plays the lead and he eventually, you know, gives up his position in Homeland Security and goes rogue to try to save these kids. And he ends up saving dozens of them, actually. It's not just these two. But he brings these two kids back to their father. And I don't care how tough you are, man. You're going to need a box of tissues for this one because it's like... it's like that.
Where can you find this film streaming?
Well, that's the thing. You know, the movie was actually filmed in like 2018, 2019.
Oh, really?
And it was bought out. The company it was made from was bought out by Disney, and Disney shelved it. They shelved it. They didn't want this movie to come out.
It doesn't sound like a Disney film.
What's that?
It doesn't sound like a Disney film. So,
well, whatever. No, it's definitely not a Disney film. But they shelved it, and then I think a company called Angel Productions, something like that, Angel Films, put it out, and it's made like hundreds of millions of dollars worldwide now. Okay, wow. It's huge. Where can you see it? Well, it was in the movies for a while briefly. Interestingly, there was some controversy where films all over were being shown and all of a sudden, you know, it was over the summer and all of a sudden air conditions were breaking down in theaters where this only in that theater was being shown. It seems like there was an effort to try to not show this movie. I don't think it's streaming yet, but I heard that HBO Max might pick it up on Netflix.
Right on.
They'd be crazy not to because it's a moneymaker. At this moment, I'm not sure where you could see it. I know if anybody has a Fire Stick, you might find it streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
I know it's out there now. I've seen it on my Fire Stick. There's a nice copy of it. But definitely see this film. I was going to possibly, as a runner-up, you know, I was thinking of Napoleon, too. Okay?
I have not seen it yet. I'm so excited about seeing this movie.
You should see the film.
I love Joaquin Phoenix. I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's one of my favorite.
I was going to give it to Napoleon, and the reason I didn't is I just felt that, you know, on so many levels, Sound of Freedom was better because it just hits you emotionally.
Right.
You know? And you know, What goes on with these kids in this human trafficking world is fucking horrible, man. And there's something got to be done about it, you know. And you know, not to get political, but you know what's going on with the border and things like that. It's creating more of a situation for this to happen. So it was a very timely film, and it was a film that really almost didn't come out, almost couldn't get made, almost couldn't be promoted. Strange controversies with it, and I just have to give it to the movie of the year. So, Sound of Freedom. Okay.
Right.
And that's about it. We have the last one, okay, which we have a special guest coming on.
What?
Which we actually filmed this ahead of time, so we're going to stick it in here.
Okay? Yeah.
But the best song of the year is by the Dolly Rots. And it's a song called Night Owl. Right. It's the title track of the same name for the album. And I love this song. It's just a perfect pop punk song. Okay. The Dolly Rots are a very cool band that have been around for like about 20 years. Yeah. And Kelly Ogden, the lead singer, and her husband, Luis Cabezas, were very nice to come on. We're going to put that on in a minute. And hope you enjoy it. Get the Dolly Rots Night Owl album and listen to this title track. That's the song of the year. Every time I heard it, it got a lot of airplay on Little Steven's Underground Garage on Sirius XM Channel 21. And Kelly Ogden has a show of her own from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. So if you're ever up, listen to her show. It kicks ass.
I'm usually walking home at that time.
Well, it's funny. I mentioned to her when we talk how it's a late night show for us too, because I've left bars at 3 in the morning and she comes on at 4.
Yep.
So. Everybody, welcome to the year-end rock show. I'm Rocker Mike, and we've got Rob Rossi right there, top left. Special guest today. Actually, this is all part of our year-end show, so we've had a few guests, but very special guest today is the Dolly Rots.
Hello. Yeah.
What's up? Okay.
Kelly Ogden and Luis Cabezas.
Yep.
You guys are a fantastic band that's been around now for, I think, like 20 years or so, right? You've been around for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Since I think 2002. Yeah.
I think our band could drink if it were human.
Yeah.
We're gonna get along good. Definitely get along good. I had you on today because I wanted to announce that you guys, your song "Night Owl" is the Rocker Mike and Rob song of the year.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you so much, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Okay. We've been doing this now for 5 years, and we enjoy, you know, recapping the year and kind of talking about the best things about it. And I'm a big fan, Kelly, of your radio show too on Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Ah, thanks.
Okay. Sirius 21, right? Channel 21.
21.
You got an early slot. So it's, you know, not everybody, unfortunately, going to hear it. But I mean, I think it's great, you know.
I'm the kid, so I'm, you know, I'm paying my dues.
Yeah. You don't have the seniority. Yeah. So what time are you on? Isn't it like 4 a.m., 5 a.m.?
It's 4 to 8 a.m. Eastern. So, like, I get late night people on the West Coast mm-hmm. and then early mm-hmm. people, you know, on the East Coast. Or the night shift.
I've left Rob's bar. Rob bartends. I've left Rob's bar many times and caught you at when you were starting your show. So you're catching the late night people in New York City too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one thing I you know love about your radio show, okay, is you give a lot of insight with bands and stuff like that. I really enjoy like you know your knowledge and stuff like that. I feel like I got something in common with you. Because that's what I'm all about, too, is just passing that history, that rock and roll history along, you know?
Well, it makes the songs that you've been listening to your whole life mean a little bit more when you understand the backstory or.
Definitely.
You
know, definitely.
Story of the group.
You guys are a husband and wife team. Okay.
Yep.
And beautiful, beautiful. Give a little kiss there. It's okay.
It was a lick.
This ain't exactly a family show. It's a
non-contact lick.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what I get.
You got a bunch of kids, right?
Two kids, a dog, two cats, eight chickens.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Eight chickens.
Wow. Yeah.
We got a farm out here.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We got COVID chickens. Remember when eggs were expensive? Our eggs are the most expensive eggs we've ever eaten.
I could imagine.
They're great though.
So you know, just to give you a little history with the Dolly Rots is, you know, you guys have released albums on Panic Button Records, Joan Jett's Black Heart Records, and most recently on Little Steven's Wicked Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And if I counted it right, and tell me if I'm wrong, is it 9 studio albums and 1 live album?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, Lewis and I, we always differ on our album
numbers.
There's like
8 studio albums and then a B-sides album and a live album.
And a Christmas album.
And a Christmas
album. And an acoustic album.
Wow. Wow. You guys definitely got a lot. You know, now, the B-sides is called Down the Rabbit Hole, right?
Yep.
Okay. Is that out physically or is that just a downloading thing?
No,
we released it last
Christmas? We put it out on Stevie's label on Wicked Cool. Initially, it was just like, you know, I wanted to put out you know, all the songs that we had lying around on hard drives and stuff.
Right.
And so I called the label and I was like, hey, can we use some of a couple of the tracks that we put out as B-sides, like on 7 inches or whatever?
Right.
And, you know, basically the response was, well, why don't we just put the whole thing out? So it just turned into this double album with like a full length record of B-sides and then a full length, like sort of like two disc set with covers.
That's
so
cool.
It was just like a full blown release. It was cool and it was kind of unexpected. You know, you just kind of, you gather songs over the years and put them away. And then
he called with this idea on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And in order for us to have it for like Christmas and stuff, we had to turn the whole thing in with art on Monday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was like, a rough time.
I was on the phone with like mastering engineers, like, can you like master 24 songs in 2 days?
The weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, artist, any way we could get art right this second?
And like our art guy in Europe, like he turned it around in like a day. So, yeah. I mean, that thing was just thrown together. But
a lot of people helped.
Yeah. We have a lot of good people we work with, man. So
That's great. Now, I always, One kind of way that I judge bands is you know, by the cover songs they do. Okay. And, you know, some bands just don't do covers, and that's fine. No problem with that. Okay. But it's always interesting when a band covers certain songs because it gives, like, they might put their own spin on it, which is great, turn it into something that it wasn't. Okay. And that can work. But, you know, I think it really shows the influences of the band. Now, one interesting cover that you have is you do a cover of the Do Run Run by the Crystals, and with the flip side being I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones, and you're wearing a very cool Ramones shirt there, Luis. I see that.
Not intentional.
You know what? Mine also accidentally, it says We Want the Airwaves.
Oh, there you go. I didn't even notice that.
I know. Ramones.
Yep. All right, cool. So both those, I mean, you know, I get why you would do those songs. I mean, you guys definitely are influenced by the Ramones. But Kelly, tell me about your love for the girl group stuff, the Crystals and the Ronettes and things like that. Wow. You love that stuff, right?
I mean, that's how I learned to sing. I love that music. And growing up as a kid in Florida, oldies radio was amazing. Like,
yes,
we had two or three oldies stations that I could listen to at any point. And so it was always oldies and top 40, you know, when I was a kid. My parents, you know, we listened to Casey Kasem's top 40 every weekend. And so, you know, that's where a lot of my inspiration came from, you know, when I was really, really young. Then of course, Lewis taught me all about, you know, punk rock, and, you know, we were children of the 90s. So, yeah, you know, of course we love grunge and Nirvana, yeah, and, you know, all that.
I got a few years on you guys, but it, you know, the 90s were an interesting time. To me, it was probably the last really great time in popular music, meaning like stuff in the top 40 that was worth listening to.
Okay. Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah, we're not in that world
anymore. Yeah, that impression.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, look, it is what it is. You know, rock and roll is, you know, it's an amazing force that, you know, right now it's underground, and that's okay. And you just have to look for it a little harder. Or you could listen to the Dolly Rots, or tune into what little Steven plays on his channel, what you play on your you know, your program, and get your fill of it. And just to say also is what I love about that whole channel in general, what everybody does, is they play everything from, you know, the 50s to now. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's the way you have to look at rock and roll music, I think, is you got to look at it as one big thing, one big pot, everything stirred up in it. And, you know, it doesn't matter if a song is from 1952 by Ike Turner, or you know, a brand new Dolly Rot song. Okay. I mean, you guys can, the music is played back to back, and it's fantastic, I think. So, you know, kudos to you guys with everything.
It was my favorite station before I got to, you know, be a DJ on it. So
yeah,
it all worked out.
Yeah, the concept, you know, we agree with that philosophy. That's kind of always been part of what, like, we see what we do, like, it should hopefully, like, you strive to be like as timeless as that stuff that like influenced you. And our influences could be anything from like, you know, Eddie Cochran to like modern, like punk, you know, it's just, it should all like kind of like, it goes together in like a lineage, like you said. And like, we firmly believe in that. That's part of like why we do this.
And that's part of why we choose the covers we choose, you know, to also show where we came from, but in the hopes that maybe some of our younger listeners might be like, oh, wow, that's a really cool song. And then go listen to more from, you know, that artist, because maybe they don't hear that anywhere.
or they'll just think that's like, it's one of our originals.
Oh yeah, they think it's an original.
I'm sure that happens with the younger fans.
Yeah, which I don't mind. I mean, if it's like a killer song and they happen to think it's ours, like I'm not gonna like argue with them about it.
You just keep it quiet, that's all. Yeah, it's our song.
Stroke of genius.
Yeah, that's right. You can take a little credit. Yeah. Now I think some of your songs have been used in movies, right? And TV shows.
Yeah, we've really lucked out with that.
Yeah, like you know, we had kind of a run, like, you know, years back with when Because I'm Awesome came out, because that song was used in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in feature films and, you know, ad campaigns and stuff like that. But then recently it's like we had a placement in Nimona, that Netflix movie.
Then
we had a placement in Billions, like that other show. And
really, stuff,
it just kind of happens.
Yeah. Sometimes we don't even know. And all of a sudden we'll start getting messages and people will be like, oh my God, I'm watching this show and your song's in it. I'm like, are you sure it's our song or just someone that sounds like us? And then, you know, it is sometimes. It's really cool.
But we don't, you know, we don't actively pursue it. It's kind of like sometimes there's a music supervisor that finds our stuff and they use it. And, you know, we got people that license stuff out for us, so most of the time we don't even know about it.
Right. It's not our choice.
I mean, they're not gonna license it to like I don't know, something objectionable without asking us, right?
Hopefully,
I don't know,
we're not like being like I don't know, I could like get myself in trouble by just bringing up all the things that I don't like our music could be like licensed to. But for the most part, it's cool. It's usually like, hey, this scene needs like some uplifting song. And it shouldn't be like pop music. It should have kind of a rock edge.
You know, one of the more curious placements that happened recently was it a Netflix movie? They used our version of Little Eva's Turkey Trot.
Wow.
In a live action Super Mario go-kart race. Yeah. Had nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
This was in a movie or TV?
Yeah. It was like some Super Mario movie. It was like a real deal. Like,
no, it's called Something Kiss.
No, that's right. It was a teen movie with the Mario Kart scene.
I don't know. But I was like, well, that's strange and awesome. Yeah. We knew about that one.
You know what it is today, you know, because, you know, other than your station, really nobody's playing this kind of stuff on the radio. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, where bands and even, you know, classic older bands are getting exposed is in movies, TV shows, and video games.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have a my son Sebastian. One day I was playing Alice Cooper, School's Out came on. I'm a tremendous Cooper fan going way back. And you know, School's Out came on, and I think he was about, well, now he's 20. I think he was about 13, 12 at the time, something like that. And he goes, I know this song. All right. And I said, how do you know this song? And he goes, oh, I seen it on guitar. What was that called? Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
And he showed it to me, and like all this music is on there, and that's how these bands are getting paid now. You know, it's amazing.
Aerosmith made more money on that than the records. Believe it or not, I believe it.
Yeah. Well,
nobody should be buying Aerosmith right now, anyway. Honestly, you know, come on. Okay, let them make their money in a video game. Tell us a little bit about Night Owl. It's also the name of the album as well. That's right, Dolly Rod's Night Owl, or Night Owls is the album, and then Night Owl is the name of the song.
Kind of a title track, right?
sort of title track. So tell us about this album a little bit. How did it come together? What's some inspiration for it?
Well, you know, a lot of the songs like were just kind of like accumulated over the last, honestly, it was over COVID, you know, because we were kind of stuck at home, and we weren't, you know, we homeschooled our kids for like a year. We weren't touring, like all that stuff. And so we tried to like stay inspired and go out there, start a song, couldn't finish a song, go out, start another song, couldn't finish the song. You know, yeah. You just kind of like, you're trying to put something together so that when the world opens back up, you have something to like put out and support and ride on.
Right.
And we just couldn't finish a freaking song. No, you know,
it was brutal.
Cause like, you know, you start to get all
like,
up
maybe
in your
we
head.
Lost it. We lost it. It's gone. Like,
yeah. So
I don't know.
So you start to like question yourself, you know, when you don't get to go out and be around people and play live and all that, you start to get up in your own head and second guess and whatever. And so, you know, when we finally got back to touring, we went back and we listened to all these like little
bits and pieces.
And it was like, oh my God,
this is great.
We have a full length record here. Like, let's just like put it together and do it and not be like, let's stop second guessing ourselves basically, yeah. You know? And so it took us just like a couple weeks to kind of just like decide, all right, well, this verse should go with this chorus or whatever.
Night Owl was one of the more complete tracks.
That one was more complete, but
yeah.
Honestly, like I was kind of like, is this any good? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
When we were being Dennis Mortensen, he runs Wicked Cool. When me and Dennis were like, Night Owl's the title track, like this is the lead single. Like we gotta put this. Lewis is like, I don't think so, guys. I don't think so.
Well, because you know, you write a song and it's nice to be able to go out and play it live and right. See what the reaction is and get like that feedback. But
we hadn't had any,
you know, I mean, and so, but that one just kind of like fell from the sky. A lot of these ideas just kind of like fell from the sky, to be honest. And then we recorded it in like a week. We recorded the whole record in like 5 days because everything was already done. Like we knew like,
it well,
was
as like, we write songs, we create a demo, which becomes the final file. Right, like right. We have a studio and he engineers it.
It's just like, we have a home studio.
Yeah.
We just cut the demo. But to be honest, like 80% of the time, that demo turns into the final, you know.
Rob is muted.
No, Rob, you all right? You okay, Rob? He's muted. Can't hear you, bro. Oh, boy.
But yeah, man, like the, you know, that song in particular just kind of reflects like where we're at in our life, because our days are doing like parent stuff and the radio show and whatever.
Right.
And then the nighttime is the only time.
It's the only time we're creative.
We can be creative.
We get to be a couple, you know, not just parents rushing around.
Yeah. And it's when we're playing live. It's when we feel alive. It's like, you know, because the world just like stops and you can think and you can feel like connected to something. It's just, so that's kind of where all these songs came from.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay, that's very cool. And basically, you have some dates coming up next month, right? In January?
Yep.
Yep.
You're finally getting out there again. Before you give me those dates, though, we're going to do our best to try to have this up by Saturday, okay, which would be the 23rd. And I was looking at what you got going on.
Oh, yeah.
The 23rd, you got that your annual Christmas sing-along thing. Tell us about that a little bit. Hopefully, we can get you up in time for that.
So every year we do a holiday show from our living room with our kids, and you know, we just do holiday classics. So a bunch of the songs now are on our Christmas album. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just chaos. It's kind of controlled chaos.
It's on it's on Stage It.
It's on the Stage It's this platform.
This streaming platform.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, we just set up in our living room. It's us, acoustic guitars. And there's like a live chat so you can see what everybody's saying.
Yeah.
And you
kind of
interact with people and you hang out. And it's really fun. It's just a fun thing to do because our kids are unpredictable. You know, it's kind of nice to have them
they're
around.
They're 7 and 10 now.
So. Yeah. So like they'll come in and start like they try to take over the show. I mean, the same thing happens with the live show, with the real live show, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of we never did encore breaks. Like, just feels funny to me in a, you know, a mid-sized club doing an encore break.
Yeah.
But now what we do is, like, toward the end of our sets, we take a little break and our kids come out and do this, like, our son is really into yo-yo and he'll do yo-yos and then he'll tell some jokes and our daughter drums. She does all the rim shots for his jokes. And it's just, it's a little out of our hands at this point.
We'll play like a family jam. Like a Sonic Youth style, like noise thing.
It's going to be like a whole vaudeville act eventually.
How many years have you done that now?
I mean, since they were born, you know, our son River, he started touring when he was 7 or 8 weeks old.
They've been out with us their whole life. Like, that's just what they do. So
yeah, we weren't sure if it will work. So yeah, it works apparently.
Like before he came along, we sold the tour van. We did that whole thing because we figured we just
said goodbye to our old lives. We had our tears.
Right. And then we started doing it with them, and it works out. Like, and it's cool, you know, it adds a different dimension to the live show.
Sure.
It's not a show you can see anywhere else.
Yeah. And also, like, it makes things less boring, you know, because a lot of touring is like a lot of sitting around and waiting.
It's
like
waiting to go on, waiting to get from one place to another. I get you.
Yeah.
So in January, you've got some shows, I think, towards the end of January, starting in Florida. Is that correct?
Yeah, we'll be in the Southeast with Bowling for Soup and Lit. And it's actually a tour we did last year in the UK. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be really fun. We've been touring with Bowling for Soup for, 15 years now.
Yep.
They kind of took us under their wing when we were a younger touring band, and we learned how to rock and roll from them. So they're kind of like our big brothers. And
are you coming up to New York anytime soon?
We'll probably do New York in the summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to talk to our booking agent.
She's texting right now.
Yeah. She's literally texting like, what's going on in the summer? So we're doing that with BFS and Lit. And then in March, we're heading to the Midwest and doing like our annual, like, St. Patrick's in Chicago.
That's the place to be. That in New York are the best places to be for St. Patrick's.
We always tour the Midwest in March because it's around our kids' spring break. So we try to keep them in school as much as possible. We never want to homeschool again.
We don't want the authorities coming after us. So we try to
get your bad influences on everybody. So when you do come to New York, make sure you let me know, because you have 2 seats at the International Bar on First Avenue waiting for you.
Okay? All right.
And come out when Rob is there. And even if he's not, doesn't matter. If he's not on that night, we'll have you there anyway. But just let me know, all right? Because you'll be having
fun. International.
Definitely. Definitely.
Cool.
All right. So Kelly and Luis, I want to thank you. Dolly Rots. I mean, song of the year this year. I made you guys Night Owl.
Right on, man. We really appreciate it.
Listen to Kelly on Little Steven's Underground Garage channel. Channel 21 Sirius XM. And I wish you guys all the best for Christmas, of course, and for going into the new year. You got a tour, support that new album. That's great. And just keep chugging, man. You guys are the best. I love you guys.
Thanks, you.
Man.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that, man. Thanks, Rob. Merry Christmas.
Take care. All right. So that's the year-end show. Thank you, Clown Kong.
Hey, you know how much I love you guys. Thank you for having me. That was so fun. I really enjoyed you guys rewatch the two of my favorite movies of all time.
Fantastic movie.
It's always a lot of fun having you on, Clown. You're a fucking maniac.
You guys enjoy your New Year's, and I will see you next year.
Definitely.
Yeah, see you next year.
Almost next year already.
Up, because you go.
Okay.
Wow. The clown.
Maybe your phone went in the water.
Maybe.
Oh man. So that's another year-end show, Mr. Rossi.
Yeah, another year-end show. We got 9 more episodes before we hit 200 episodes.
Wow. Yep. So we want to thank everybody. So many people this year. I can't name them all because there's just so many. But all the people that the viewers and the people giving us support and the people giving nice comments. For all the shows we do, not just the rock show. You know, we love you guys, and we wish you all the best for a happy new year. And, you know, just keep watching. There's going to be some new things this year. Yep. We're going to get into some new stuff in the true crime End of the World.
Yeah.
You know, our Son of Sam Chronicles, which was our most popular show. We're going to be putting that on a shelf a little bit and going on to some other true crime stuff. And, of course, we'll have the Rock Show twice a month.
Yeah.
Conspiracy 420 is going to come back in a big way.
Yep.
And the interviews. We got some already lined up for January and February. Rocker Mike and Rob presents. So that's going to be great. And
be great.
Yeah, yeah. And we want to thank everybody, particularly on this show, Kelly Ogden and Luis, for coming on. And, of course, Frank Sesich and always the clown. Clown Con. So where can we find you, Rob, online if we need to find you? Somebody wants to curse you out. You can
find me on Instagram, Facebook, X, and pretty much those are the places you can find me. You can also find me on YouTube and the Rock, the Getting Lumped Up website also. It's up, so you could drop some lines there, you know, join the fan club, the mail club, and we'll send you an email back or something. Say hello.
Definitely. We always get back to our fans.
Yeah.
Sooner or later. You could find me on Facebook under Rocko Mike. Rocko Mike on Facebook. And also the Rock Show Podcast group page on Facebook, which is over 2,000 members right now, no matter what it says on the screen. It's like 2,100, 2,200 right now.
Yeah.
And also look for me as Rocker Mike 212. On Instagram and Twitter, which is now X. And everywhere else, like Getter, Truth Social, Cloud Hub, MeWe. What am I missing? There might be one or two more. Just look for me as Rocker Mike on those. And we always do a song of the day, song of the night. You know, the Rock Show Podcast group page on Facebook, I'm most active on. Join it and contribute, post some music, talk about rock and roll. Let's keep it all alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of fun. And I just want to, again, thank all the listeners out there, all the supporters. You guys are great. We couldn't do it without you.
And to everybody, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
We'll see you in 2024.
Yeah.
All right.
And remember, don't get drunk.
Get lumped up.
We'll see you soon.
Take care, people.
I wanna get lumped up tonight. Listen to Rob Ross and Young Rock of Mine on the only podcast that I'll hear. That won't make me wanna rip off my ear.